Joe Bud Mitch. This is FieldPod.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Glasgow's lovely Central Library. Today is the 21st of December, 2017. On this date, in 1237, the city of Ryazan, 200 kilometers south of Moscow, is the first Russian city to be sacked by the Mongols under Batu Khan. 1620, the Mayflower Pilgrims land on Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. 1831, the Egyptians defeat the Ottomans at the Battle of Konya, gaining control of Greater Syria for Muhammad Ali Pasha. 1907, the Chilean army kills 2,000 striking saltpeter miners. 1919, anarchist Emma Goldman is deported from the U.S. to Russia. 1963, Bloody Christmas begins in Cyprus when a Greek Cypriot police officer kills two Turkish Cypriots, setting off a wave of violence during which over 500 people are killed, up to 25,000 displaced. 1979, the Lancaster House Agreement is signed, giving Rhodesia its independence and leading to the Rhodesian Civil War, which ended in Zimbabwe. 2012, the 5,126-year-long cycle in the Mesoamerican long count calendar ended, leading to unfulfilled doomsday predictions. It is also the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. Birthdays are English priest and dog breeder Jack Russell in 1795, English Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli in 1804, World War II Marshal of the Soviet Union Konstantin Rokossovsky in 1896, Georgian colonel and politician Irakli Alassani in 1973, and Georgian politician Misha Saakashvili in 1967. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to thefieldpod.com or send us an email at thefieldpod@gmail.com. The Saakashvili saga continues in Ukraine. On the 17th, Misha and supporters rallied in Kiev's Independence Square to call for President Petro Poroshenko's impeachment. While there, Misha suggested that they set up a headquarters in the cultural center overlooking the square. Supporters broke windows but were ultimately prevented from entering the building by police using tear gas. The attempt to seize a public building drew condemnation from Berlin, British, American, and Canadian authorities, among others. After the failed attempt, Misha clarified that he wanted to rent rooms there, not take them by force, blamed Poroshenko for instigating clashes. Misha also has written two letters to Poroshenko, the first looking to meet and find a way out of this conflict together, the second calling on him to resign. He also wrote that he has no aggressive intentions and reiterated that he is not working for the Russian Federal Security Service, FSB. Misha appeared at the prosecutor general's office on the 18th, but refused to answer any questions, telling reporters that he would only answer questions once the case was given to the Ukrainian Security Service, as is required by law. Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko has said that Misha is likely to be extradited to Georgia because the Ukrainians do not have the right to refuse an official request. However, Georgian officials have reportedly said that there has not been an extradition request. There are other reports that after being released from detention last week, he went to the Dutch embassy and received a packet of documents that would allow him to travel to the Netherlands, where his wife is a citizen. Project funding platform Orbeliani, of which I'm on the board, was one of nine NGOs to receive an award for financial transparency from Civic Development Agency, CEDA, of Sweden. CEDA created an online platform at cso.ge and rated organizations on whether they published annual narrative, financial or audit reports in order to incentivize financial transparency. Orbeliani and other eight NGOs obtained the highest rating on the new platform. That actually may be the Canadian version, not the Swedish version. Not sure. Nine members of the European Parliament have called for the release of former Prime Minister Vano Medavashvili after a recent ruling by the European Court of Human Rights in Medavashvili's favor. Their letter also expressed concerns about opposition competitiveness and media freedom, including issues regarding the ownership of Rustavioti. European Georgia MP Georgi Kandalaki expressed support for the letter and hoped that Otsneba would heed it. Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze was in Warsaw this week, where he met with Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki and the heads of both houses of the Polish Parliament, signed an agreement on strategic partnership. Wachtang Gumelauri, head of the State Security Service, was in Minsk this week, met with Belarusian KGB head Valery Valuchik, and signed an agreement on exchanges and protection of classified information between the two countries. Deputy Foreign Minister David Dondua and representatives from the Ministries of Finance, Economy, and Internal Affairs were in Bern this week, where the Revenue Service signed an agreement with Swiss company SGS to monitor cargo passing between Russia and Georgia. The contract is part of a Swiss-mediated 2011 agreement between Russia and Georgia that will allow for tracking and auditing goods that go through trade corridors in Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and the border crossing near Kazbegi. That whole thing was pushed very hard by the Obama administration in order to allow Russia into the WTO. Danish diplomat Erik Hoag has been appointed head of the European Union monitoring mission in Georgia by the European Union Council's Political and Security Committee. He's worked with the EUMM since 2015 and will replace Lithuanian Kęstutis Jankauskas. At a New Year reception for diplomats and NGO representatives in Tbilisi, President Georgi Margvelashvili announced that 2018 will be the Year of Freedom, marking a 100-year anniversary of Georgia's independence from Russia. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili was also in attendance. Finance Minister Mamuka Bakhtadze said this week that VAT reform, return reforms are planned for 2018. A new system will allow for VAT returns to be paid online, which will allegedly reduce bureaucracy and speed up the process. Parliament approved the 2018 budget last week with 111 votes. The opposition participated in discussions, but not in votes. Revenues are expected to total 12.44 billion lari, up 48 million from the previous draft and nearly a billion from the 2017 budget. Expenditures are set at 12.45 billion, up 56 million from the last draft and nearly 750 million from 2017. Government expects 4.5% economic growth and 3.5% inflation. Ministry of Labor, Health and Social Affairs of Georgia will receive the most at 3.52 billion lari, while the Office of the State Minister for Reconciliation and Civic Equality will receive the least with 1.6 million. Parliament approved more changes to the new constitution today. Again, during the second reading of the amendments, in addition to ones presented in the first reading, the new modifications address access to public information, which the Constitution originally restricted if the information concerned state, professional, commercial, or personal secrets. The wording was changed to specify that information will be defined as state secrets when, quote, they are necessary in a democratic society for ensuring national security or public safety or interests of legal proceedings, end quote. This amendment was criticized by the opposition and various NGOs who said that the original language had been agreed upon, that the amendment was hasty and not well prepared, and that this amendment had not been asked for by the Venice Commission. Some Otsneva members also opposed the move. Third reading on constitutional amendments will occur next spring, and the Constitution will go into force after the 2018 presidential elections. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Interior Minister Georgi Gakharia were questioned at a minority hearing on the killing of Ahmed Chataev during the November Isani special operation. Gakharia said the most important part of the investigation would be finding out how Chataev got into Georgia, took the opportunity to advocate for reforming border police. Kvitikashvili said, when the investigation will end, you will learn the results. Two more Otsneva factions will be established, bringing the total number of inter-Otsneva factions to 8. Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze said that the additional factions would make management more efficient and were not a sign of internal disagreements. Not at all. Some reports have said that the split is the result of a disagreement between Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and singer Georgi Gachachiladze. Both denied that. The move will divide the largest Otsneva faction into 3 smaller groups. The new groups will be led by Bidzina Gegidze, a close friend of Gachachiladze's, and Gocha Enukidze. NGOs, members of the opposition, and private TV companies continue to criticize amendments to the broadcasting law that governs Georgia's public broadcaster and called for President Margvelashvili to veto the changes. The Parliamentary Committee of Sectoral Economy and Economic Policy also opposed the changes. The Otsneva-sponsored proposal was approved by Parliament last week during the second reading and has one more reading to go. If the bill is passed, GPB will no longer have to announce public procurement calls. It will be permitted to run commercials all day. It will no longer be required to return unused funds to the state budget, and the powers of the Board of Trustees will be limited. GPB argues that the changes increase efficiency and independence, while opponents of the move say that the changes unfairly favor the public broadcaster and reduce transparency. It is currently unclear whether Margvelashvili plans to veto or not. Otsneva has enough representation to override the veto anyway. an election for the minister to represent the Vani Khoni district in Imerete. Sorry, MP to represent the Vani Khoni district in Imerete has been scheduled for April 2018. The seat was recently vacated by Otsneva's Georgi Liloashvili after he was appointed deputy head of the state security service. Kvitikashvili swore at the national, at the United National Movement's Nika Melua at the Tbilisi parliamentary debate. Melua had mentioned rumors that Bidzina Ivanishvili is unhappy with Kvitikashvili and is planning to replace him, and also called Kvitikashvili a corrupt, called him corrupt, disgraceful, and inept. Kvitikashvili responded with a series of epithets roughly equivalent to, "You bastard, fuck you, you scum." Kvitikashvili later apologized for his extreme emotions. The hardest working NGO on the hip side of the Black Sea, Transparency International Georgia, has published a report that found signs of political corruption at the in the fundraising that occurred before recent elections. They called on the state audit office and prosecutor's office to investigate donations that are likely to be corrupt. They are particularly concerned by cases where individuals donated to Otsneva then received services or goods from the government. In one case, five individuals donated 400,000 lari, and then their companies, LTD, Polimedi, and Polimedi 1, became beneficiaries of the government program Produce in Georgia and received nearly 3,000 square meters of land for the symbolic price of one lari. In another case, businessman Vaja Tiskorashvili donated 75,000 lari to Otsneva, and a week later an ongoing dispute between him and the government, a dispute that began under the UNM government, was resolved. TI also found two public servants who donated over half of their salaries to Otsneva. An investigation into rap group Birja Mafia has been ended due to a lack of evidence. The two rappers were facing life sentences in prison on drug charges after being arrested in June, allegedly while carrying especially large amounts of MDMA. Birja Mafia said the police planted the drugs on them in retaliation for a music video that depicts a police officer on a dog leash. The arrests were followed by large protests. One of the pair, Georgi Kiburia, claims that he was pressured by police into a false guilty plea. An investigation into police abuse of power and planting of evidence is ongoing, and my guess is will be ongoing for a while. Two women have accused the police of covering up their domestic violence cases because their partner's connections to the government. One woman's ex-partner is a state security service official and women's rights groups. Sapati says that he has used his position to hinder an investigation into physical and psychological abuse. The second woman's partner has a relative in the Interior Ministry, and she says he's violently interfered with the investigation and had been trying to protect her husband from investigation. Her husband was arrested after Sapati became involved, but the first woman has still not been able to get so much as a restraining order. The Coalition for Equality, a group of NGOs, has called for the SSS official to be suspended and for the victims to be adequately protected. Prime Minister and Minister of Internal Affairs Georgi Gajaria announced that the police will be beginning a series of reforms, including strengthening of investigative capacity, increasing independence for investigators, increased use of technology, training for border police, and the creation of a new temporary department focused on human rights that will function until the ministry reforms are fully implemented. Gajaria specifically mentioned the problem of domestic violence in his speech. In addition, Minister of Corrections Kakhishvili announced plans for a prison reform scheme that would allow inmates to work their way to shorter sentences. In his plan, every day that a prisoner works would be a day taken off the prisoner's sentence, with obvious restrictions based on the category of prisoner and so on. The government of Georgia gave a fully furnished apartment and 100,000 lari to the family of Ivana Goroshvili, the state security officer killed in the November Isani special operation. The family will also receive 1,000 lari a month. A 39-year-old Georgian citizen from Duishi in the Pankizi Gorge, Georgi Margoshvili, also called Fezula Kushtanashvili or Saladin Shishani, was killed in northwestern Syria. Some sources say that he was killed by a Russian airstrike. He reportedly participated in the 2012 Lapota Gorge clash with recently deceased ISIS leader Ahmed Chataev. Margoshvili apparently led a small group called Jaish al-Ushra against the Syrian government. Beslan Sininvaria, chairman of the Abkhazian State Customs Committee, is hoping to open a customs post at the Inguri border crossing. In November, the South Ossetian authorities expressed interest in a similar customs post at Akhalgori, Georgian authorities maintain that no customs service can exist at an occupation line. The Abkhazian Customs Committee has already received new equipment from the Russian Federal Customs Service. The Abkhazian Parliament has endorsed the 2018 budget during its first reading. The opposition criticized it for being a budget not for growth, but for survival. Abkhazian Parliamentary Chairman Valery Kvarchia and other parliamentarians visited Bryansk, Russia, this week and met with Duma members Leonid Kalashnikov and Tazbeg Tatsayev. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Kholponin visited South Ossetia this week to finalize plans to Russian financial aid and investments in South Ossetia in 2018 and 19. Russian authorities also conducted an audit of Russian spending in South Ossetia from 2015 to 2017. The South Ossetian Parliament has adopted a 2018 state budget. Revenues are anticipated to be about $130 million, $112 of which will be provided by Russia. The revenues are about $8 million less than 2017, and the Russian contribution is down about $11 million. South Ossetian Parliamentary Chairman Alan Kozonov praised a recent deal with Russia that will allow South Ossetians with dual citizenship to access medical care in Russia. He's hoping that the agreement will drastically reduce the number of South Ossetians entering Georgia for medical care. Since approximately 98% of South Ossetian citizens are also Russian citizens, 9 polling places will open in South Ossetia for the upcoming Russian presidential elections, 5 in Skhinvali and the other 4 in different towns and villages. A criminal case against South Ossetian journalist and activist Tamara Mayarakishvili is continuing after a Skhinvali court rejected her appeal. She is accused of violating the dignity and honor of the ruling United Ossetia Party. She claims that the libel law will only applies to individuals, not political parties, and that her words aren't libelous anyway. In addition, no individuals or political parties were specifically named in the piece at the center of the case. The 42nd round of the Geneva International discussions was held on the 12th and 13th, discussing the ongoing consequences of the 2008 war. The discussions included representatives from the OSCE, EU, UN, Georgia, Russia, and the United States, members of the Georgian exile administrations of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and the current governments of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. A new issue of concern for the Tbilisi representatives was the recent opening of a Russian customs office in Abkhazia and by rumors of one planned for South Ossetia. New issue of concern for the Russian side was the recent decision by the United States to allow the sale of Javelin anti-armor missile systems to Georgia and attempts by the Georgian embassy in the UK to have an Abkhazian war memorial in Scotland torn down. I mean, it's not really a memorial. It's kind of small. It's like a gravestone. But anyway, this was the first round of the GID talks. New EU special representative for the South Caucasus and crisis in Georgia, Toby O'Clar. Next set of talks is scheduled for the 27th and 28th of March, 2018. Speaking of the sale of Javelin missiles, U.S. Senator Paul Rand introduced, quote, a joint resolution relating to the disapproval of the proposed foreign military sale to the government of Georgia of Javelin missiles and Javelin command launch units, end quote, in the Senate earlier this month. The bill would prohibit the $75 million sale, has no co-sponsors, and has been forwarded to the Committee on Foreign Relations. Become law, it'll have to be approved by the majorities of the Senate and House of Representatives, then signed by the President. I would encourage journalists listening to this podcast to scour his campaign contributions to trace the origin of his concern. Let us know what you find. Earlier this month, U.S. House Representative Steve Russell introduced the Georgian Fair Business Practices Sanctions Act of 2017, which he calls an international anti-corruption bill. The bill commissions a semi-annual report on the Georgian government business's practice with regards to the U.S. and says that if the report finds that the government of Georgia is taking actions to undermine commitments or contractual agreements with United States persons engaged in business operations in the country of Georgia and for other purposes, the U.S. will impose sanctions. The bill comes after Russell encountered several examples of the government of Georgia violating contracts with U.S. entities and our allies, often after significant investment of time, energy, and capital by U.S. individuals and entities. Does anybody know where this comes from? Be curious to know, let us know. We'll find out and tell you. Georgia was briefly mentioned in the new United States National Security Strategy, which discusses the invasion of Georgia and Ukraine as part of the pattern of intimidating behavior by Russia that tests the will of the United States. Senior Georgi Gashiladze and lawyers from Citroen, Georgia, accused the authorities of giving preferential treatment to car dealer companies affiliated with former Minister of Sport and Youth Affairs Tadiel Kechashvili at a press conference on the 12th of December. Georgia and the Asian Development Bank marked 10 years of business together with €12 million loan, which will be used to rehabilitate the Tbilisi Metro. This is the last part of the Sustainable Urban Transport Investment Program signed between ADB and Georgia, which addressed urban transportation issues across the country. Construction has begun on the Bodorna hydropower plant in Dushetti. The plant is expected to be fully operational by next September. It will cost about 10 million lari and will employ 50 people once operational. Ministry of Health is working to modernize Georgia's healthcare system. They've begun first paramedic training course in the South Caucasus in order to bring paramedics onto ambulances. The course focuses on the skills required to stabilize patients while bringing them to hospitals. Ministry has also mandated electronic prescriptions for 2018 and said that they will not sign any contracts with institutions that do not have electronic prescription systems. Georgia won 3 gold, 1 silver, and 1 bronze medal at the World Judo Masters in St. Petersburg last weekend. Tbilisi State University celebrated its 100th year on the 15th. It is the oldest university in the Caucasus. Prime Minister Kvitukashvili attended a celebratory event and announced plans for the renovation of several buildings associated with the university. Meme this week is a video of Natia Todua performing on the Voice of Germany singing competition, which she won. Todua is originally from Gali, Abkhazia. Stuff to read. OC Media wrote about working conditions in Georgian supermarkets, where workers complain of 24-hour shifts, excessive surveillance, performing duties outside their job responsibilities, wage violations, health and safety violations, inadequate break time. Supermarket chain Fresco was condemned by the public defender for having cameras in staff changing rooms and security guards not only watching for theft, but also report on how much and how hard staff are working. State Labor Inspection Department is limited to what it can do, though. It can only conduct inspections with prior permission and cannot impose fines or sanctions. Just recommendations that employers may choose to implement. The financial examined potential financial benefits of marijuana legalization. They anticipate that marijuana market would be worth nearly 3 billion lari, bringing tourists and create over 50,000 jobs. They also anticipate that the government could collect over 1 billion lari in tax revenue, a substantial increase. Chaihana photographed and interviewed some of the residents of the Tserovani IDP settlement outside of Tbilisi, a huge field with identical cottages like beehives. Many of the residents are from Akhalgori and still go back or went back in the summer. In recent years, it's become harder to cross between South Ossetia and Georgia, and as time passes, the younger generations don't have the same nostalgia and memories pulling them back. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 10, the number of kings known to be buried at the Mszheti Soveli Cathedral in Mszheta. Tbilisi New Year Book Festival starts on Friday the 22nd, runs for 3 days at the National Parliamentary Library. In addition to book sales, there will be over 70 other events, including awards, author talks, and literature-themed games for kids. Fabrika in Tbilisi is hosting a Christmas fair on the 23rd and 24th from noon to 8 p.m. There'll be crafts and Christmas beverages for sale, Christmas songs, and a toy painting workshop for children. Tbilisi Bicycle Group is organizing a bike ride Christ Mass for 8 p.m. on the 25th. The event starts at Rose Revolution Square. Participants are required to wear festive attire. Santa Claus costumes are most desired by the organizers, if anybody have any to lend. The goal of the event is to promote bicycling in Tbilisi. An art exhibition titled Live Life is open at the Zurab Tseretelli Modern Art Museum in Tbilisi until the 31st. The show features works by painter Leyla Aliyeva and other Georgian and Azerbaijani painters and focuses on global ecological problems. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from Sheffield 2001, this is I, Monster, and They Dream in Blue.
Fell asleep amid the flowers for a couple of hours on a beautiful day. Daydream, I dream of you amid the flowers for a couple of hours. Such a beautiful day. Such a beautiful day.